And ask Stephanie to conduct a roll call.
Tom Moore.
Here.
Judy O'Connor.
Here.
Joe Omoosagie. Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson. Julian Rappaport.
Here.
Jane Sprandel.
Yes.
Margaret White.
Here.
Susan Fowler.
Here.
Before we move into citizen input public participation, I would like to welcome to the board Jane Sprandel, who was appointed last month to assume the position vacated by Ann Robbins, and Dr. Ann Robbins, and we are happy to have you join our group and engage with us as we deal with and think through the issues of mental health and developmental disabilities in our community. Jane, do you want to just briefly introduce yourself?
Oh, sorry about that. So I live in Thomasboro. I have a son who is at Aurora University playing football, studying engineering, who is bipolar, so that's part of my interest in mental health. My daughter is a senior at Rantoul High School and got accepted to Ohio State University yesterday, so there was some big excitement for her last night. And then I also have an eighth grade daughter at Thomasboro Grade School, where I've been on their school board for 12 years and the president for 9. I have 2 more years left on that term. And, you know, I'm married to my husband, Tony, who works at Meijer, and I work at the Illini Radio Group, selling radio advertising and helping people with their marketing. So thank you for letting me join you.
And the interesting thing about being on the mental health board is that you can meet with one board member at a time. But meeting outside of the group with 2 or more board members breaks the Open Meetings Act. So do feel free, though, to call any of us or to arrange coffee with one of us at a time. It's a great way to get to know the board members. Okay. We have an opportunity for citizen input. We will also have an opportunity later on for agency information. Do we have any citizen input at this point in time? Okay. Seeing none, I will move on to the approval of the agenda. And I will note that due to a problem with posting the agenda, it wasn't posted, basically, on Friday as it needed to be electronically so that it would be available to the community. We will not be able to vote on anything today, but we can certainly engage in discussions and even do straw poll votes if we want to, but we can't do a binding vote today. So the actions that require a vote will be postponed to the study session, which is next Wednesday. And, of course, we want to make sure that we'll have a quorum for the study session. So I would like to ask right now, is there anyone who knows they won't be here next Wednesday besides myself? Okay, so hopefully we'll have a quorum. And Kyle and Joe will be here. Good. Okay, great. So with that, do I have a move to approve the agenda? Second? Discussion? Oh, yes, we can add board-to-board reports to the agenda if you'd like to do so. Is that a friendly amendment that you can accept?
Well, it was already announced as a study session, and our plan would have been to post the study session materials, but Stephanie has already posted it as a special meeting. The county took care of their role, and she brought the board packet for that event so that you have them now.
Any concerns about adding board-to-board reports? It was left off the agenda, I forgot. Okay, great. All in favor of approving the agenda with board-to-board reports? Aye? Okay, great. All right. Well, this is my opportunity to make president's comments, and so I have a few comments that I'd like to make. As this will be the last session that I serve as president of the board, and I just want to thank everyone for what a pleasant experience it's been to work in this role with all of you. It's been a very civil and cooperative group, and I couldn't ask for more. And we've also not always agreed, which is just fine, and we've engaged in lively debate, which is just what we should do. So we will be discussing election of officers. I've served for 2 years as president, and the bylaws limit my term to 2 years. I also kind of was quasi-president for part of my vice presidency because our former president was not always in good health. So I think it is time for a new person to step into the role. I would like to just note that we've accomplished a lot in these last 2.5 years, from going through the transition of a former executive director to a new executive director who's no longer new but quite veteran. And we're very pleased with the way that process worked out. I think beyond hiring an executive director, moving towards a shared consideration and evaluation of the agency proposals is something that I think has been a step forward for our board. We did it a fairly sensible way in that you don't have to read all 45 or 50 proposals, but you read 4 or 5, and then you're a secondary on 4 or 5. And the result of our reading the proposals and sharing our thoughts about the proposals is that we've actually been in a position to say to the agencies, we don't really understand this program. Could you give us more information? Which I think is important for a board that is voting on millions of dollars of expenditures to know what it is that we're approving. And so we've gone through this process now a couple of times, and it can always use some tweaking, but I hope that we continue to engage in that level of collaboration and shared communication about what we're funding. I think the other thing that's happened from doing this is that we realized that we needed more collaboration across agencies. And so one of the new requirements in the proposals is to have agencies identify who they're working with and to include letters of support. I think we've also, through this process, been able to identify some new and emerging priorities and figured out ways to find the money to fund those, because we did fund several new initiatives this past year. And I think Julian articulated it really well last year, that we've begun to see the bigger picture and to think outside of just the proposals and other ways to conceptualize what is needed in our community to support mental health and individuals with developmental disabilities. So I'm just frankly taking the opportunity to say thank you for experimenting with the reading of the proposals and seeing where it took us, and for engaging wholeheartedly in it. It took a lot of extra hours, and I know that. And I appreciate that. I also just wanted to say thank you to the staff, who've been amazing. And as I read the staff reports towards the end of our agenda, was, you know, once again bowled over by how much each staff member does and the impact that they have through their actions on different groups and agencies in the community, their representation of the board. And just it's so nice to be able to see in print what staff are engaging in and what new activities and directions they're going in. So thank you for keeping us educated, and I think thank you for your hard work. With that, we'll move on to new business, and as part of new business is the election of officers. And as I noted at the beginning, we have a dilemma in that because the agenda was not posted on Friday, we would be breaking the Open Meetings Act if we held votes today. But I certainly think that we can have a conversation and informal nomination and discussion about who would like to move forward in the role of board, be considered for the role of board president and vice president. The voting will be delayed until next week, but I did send out an email message to everyone on the board and got a response from two individuals. Kyle was the first to respond. Elaine also responded and raised questions. And no one else responded to indicate that they had a strong interest in the role of the presidency. So I would like to give both Kyle and Elaine a chance to speak about what their thoughts are. And Kyle, I'm going to turn to you first because you were the one who said, I'm interested.
You approached me and I expressed interest in it. It's my understanding that there's not a lot of necessary interest amongst the board. I'd be glad to serve if the board's willing. I see the goal to be supportive of our staff. I think in the past 2 years I've learned a lot about the diversity of programs that we are involved with, and I see it as a mission to support the staff, and then as well as keep the board up to speed on what's going on and make sure everybody's voices are heard. One of the things that you alluded to earlier is our selection process and how we've made it a lot more comprehensive and involved, and I think that those reforms have made it a lot more clear to the board members of what the different programs we're funding are, and they've been able to answer questions well with that and continue on that path of transparency and comprehensive.
That's okay. So Kyle had expressed his interest in being president, and my question was simply that he's on the county board, and I was wondering if that's a conflict of interest. We would like to, of course, keep the mental health board's activities out of any kind of political climate that might be going on in the county. So I wondered if we would be setting some kind of dangerous precedent. But having raised that question, Susan and Lynn and Stephanie and different people considered that, and evidently the answer that came back to me was that this precedent has already been set, that there has been a county board member serve as president. So I don't know, what to do about that. Kyle and I have emailed back and forth about these dangers, and he's very well aware of, the need to keep our deliberations independent of other influences, and that's just where we are on this. I just wanted clarification on this point.
I want to just ask Kyle how he feels about that, being independent, being president and still being independent of the county board. And so your comments, I know you've talked to Elaine about it. I'm just interested. Please.
I think when you look at the bylaws, compared to most boards, the president of the mental health board doesn't have a lot of extra privileges as compared to like the county board chair or like a committee chair. And the fact that the bylaws call for a county board member to serve on the board, I mean, I would still have that same vote, that one vote, and I don't think it really creates a conflict.
Susan, I apologize. I didn't get your email. So, or I would have responded in one way or another and acknowledged it. Would you go over a brief job description of your job? I would like to have a idea of what the responsibilities are and how critical your decision making is in the staff and what goes forward. I really need clarification on that.
Lynn and I are in close contact, and also as needed, so am I with Mark or with Stephanie. I meet with Lynn at least once a month to discuss what the agenda will be for the board meeting. We email back and forth pretty frequently. I probably put an additional 5 to 10 hours a month into the responsibilities of being president. Some of that is just because I'm compulsive, and that some of it I would do as a board member. I rely on Lynn for information. Lynn, I think, relies on me for another perspective or point of view. At times, I will call other members of the board and get their point of view, and one at a time, as required by the Open Meeting Act. To set up the initial process of reviewing the proposals, that required probably 20 or 30 extra hours. And then to kind of sort through and make sure I understood and had things well organized so that the board could vote, that was probably another 20 or 30 hours. But some of that was getting things established and in place. I don't really have many responsibilities in terms of representing the board at other places or to other groups. I go to other board meetings where I have an interest. I went to the Rosecrans Open House because I was very interested in their new program for treatment, inpatient treatment. But those are voluntary. I would say that, you know, the intensity of being president occurs during the day that we have our board meeting and in the follow-up after our board meeting. But it's not an overwhelming amount of work. I tend to be fairly organized and like to ensure that everybody has input to the process, so I'm not usually having to backpedal too much. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. Julian.
I never can tell. Now it's on, right? Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for the work you have done. And I think actually the way I would answer this question that's about what the duties are is thinking about the example you set of, we had good ideas about how to change the way the board operated and how engaged the board members would be in evaluating and knowing the programs we're looking at. And you were very good at figuring out how to implement it. And so it's really a process. It's kind of a process job when it's done right. And you did it very well. So I think we have a great example of it also involves keeping the group orderly. You have to contend with somebody like me who's constantly wanting to.
That was tough.
But you do it in the most delicate way. So thank you for that. So I do think that the duties have to do with kind of keeping the group civil and organized and facilitating the process more than anything else. That's my sense of it. And partly because I think the staff represent the board extremely well, and they handle all the tough stuff. But our responsibility is more, when it's substantive, is closely examining the kinds of programs that we're giving county money to and trying to the best of our ability to see that they're meeting as best as we can the needs of the county. So I think we're all involved in that. So that's sort of the way I see this. So good luck, whoever, if it's Kyle, I'll be happy if he can keep order.
Susan, part of your qualities is your wonderful communication style. So you've set a precedent. So when we're all sitting back here thinking how we'll follow in your shoes, it's pretty scary. You are a remarkable leader. And if someone would step forward to say they would walk in these shoes, are you in a mentoring position?
Absolutely. I am not going off the board. I'm very invested in the board. I got on the board in part so that I could learn more about the services in this county, and because I knew I was going to retire and needed to have something to engage me. So I still have, I think, 3 more years. Who knows? I might run for president again. I just can't run for president this year. So I'm not throwing my hat in, you know, down the road either. It's kind of nice to be on the board and not have the responsibility. But I will absolutely be available to mentor whoever moves into the presidency. I think that I'm available to serve as vice president if I were nominated. However, I think there are other members of our board who might want to consider that because they might want to move into the presidency. I'm sorry you didn't get the email. I sent everyone an email thinking that it had gone through and then got very, very busy with some other things and didn't follow up with phone calls, which I used to do. So we have the presidency and the vice presidency / secretary up for consideration, and we have Kyle, who's indicated an interest, and we have Joe has said that he would be interested at some point but couldn't do it this year, so he was the third person who responded, and Judy, I don't know what your interest is because you didn't get the email. I always thought you should be vice president. Don't know what happened, sorry.
Oh, okay. It's okay. It's good that we have discussion.
Chance.
My view is that it's the need to separate Kyle from his role on the. And so, as Kyle, I have no concern about him being the president. He can do this in his sleep mostly. But, and the only thing I wonder is just how does it look? And if it's necessary, because Kyle has to vote on, he has to make votes here, and he has to make a vote on the board, on the county board. And I don't know if those conflict with each other. And possibly, in my mind, one way to do that is he recuses himself from one or the other. And for me, I'd rather him vote on the county board than here. So if this is a comment about Kyle being our president, I'm fine with it. I know we can't vote tonight, but I think we shouldn't waste a whole bunch of time since we don't have a bunch of people saying, I want to do it.
Right. I did talk to Lynn about how to provide some cushion for Kyle, so to speak.
Right.
Do you want to mention what?
Well, as you said earlier, this happened 20 years ago, so I don't know, wasn't there, how they managed that. So there are risks that we don't know about. So what I would suggest is if we see a risk coming, that you could designate, maybe if the vice president was an obvious designate, or another board member here to do something in order to reduce any risk that emerges related to your service to both boards. And then the other thing is that I could be available at county board meetings whenever whenever mental health board business will be discussed so that I can do that, and that Kyle would not be in a position to have to do that. Yeah, I mean, there's very rarely. It's usually around budget issues. And then the other thing is that there are some responsibilities to the president that are defined in the intergovernmental agreement, and one of those is working with me on a budget. So I think that might not be a good activity for you, since you have to approve budgets on the county board side. So that might be a place to where you would designate that responsibility to another mental health board member to work with me and the president of the DD board on budget decisions that affect them both. It's just, I mean, that's whoever fits, whoever's willing, you know. So those were just ideas that I had, given that we don't really know what the risks are going to be, but as they come, we should come up with solutions that maybe just put you out of, like Tom said, probably like recusing you from a vote, similarly stepping you out of activities that might put your role at risk.
All right, so I guess I'll jump in the deep end. I've never met either one of you, so I'm very impartial. I liked the comment that Tom said, you know, it's not us judging a character, it's just sometimes perceptions. And you know, you brought up the budget thing, and that is something, you know, in my service I have learned. I can't go to a PTO meeting as a mom. I am always there as the school board president telling them, you can't do that. And so it's hard sometimes how that perception is. Again, it sounds like, you know, if it's, there's other than a president, it doesn't sound like it's going to be an issue. It sounds like budget, you have a plan. So again, I think it's great that maybe if we have a little time to think about it. Again, like I said, I just met both of you, so I'd just be like, eeny, meeny, miny, moe at this point. So, but I thank both of you for stepping up, because sometimes that's...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought Elaine had. I see. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought. Excellent. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So. Do I understand the same limitation on vice president, so that Elaine could not continue as vice president? Is that correct? Is that what's at issue here? Okay. And you don't want to be president. Yeah, I just wanted to know if that was the case.
Is this meeting being recorded?
Yes.
Are those recordings kept for some period of time, or are they erased by the time we meet the next time we meet?
No, they're available to listen to over time. They're posted on the county website.
Okay.
Forever and ever and ever.
Forever. Okay, great. I think this could be a serious number. I just want to make sure there's some record of that we've had this discussion, and we didn't just do this walking in off the street and not consider all the possibilities. And so if that's being recorded and it's being maintained, that's in our favor.
This is just a comment, because I have no opinion at this point. But because the precedent was set that a county board member was the board 20 years ago, this is a whole different era. Decisions are a lot different, and our decisions are very involved. And I would just like to say that we need to think about it really closely, to have people think that we have a strong enough board that we would have people come forward to serve on our board, and not I would hope that more of us would think about what we could contribute. Like Elaine said, I don't have any experience. I don't know if that's necessary. I don't know.
Well, let me just say that I was disappointed that I only got one response. I was glad that I got one response, but this has been a very active and engaged board, and I think any person on this board with experience could serve as president. And it's, you know, you're a civil bunch, so it's not easy to roll you in when somebody talks beyond their allotted time. So I think we've probably talked the issue as far as we need to for today. The vote will be next week. Someone also needs to identify an interest in serving as vice president. I am willing to do that, but I'm also very willing to have someone else do that. And, of course, I would like the president to agree with whoever serves as vice president. So, one final comment?
Yes, this is the final comment. I did this job for just a year once, and I remember it fondly, so much so that I would never want to do it ever again. And so I want to make a strong pitch for Kyle, knowing what all, as Lynn has mentioned, knowing that there's several risks involved, I want to make a strong pitch for Kyle to assume this position when it comes time for us to vote.
Which is which is item B, and it's
you're right.
New business.
You're on the right
page, 3-4.
Yep.
It's the yellow book.
There it is.
Page 3. Okay, so we have the code of conduct. Included in the packet for information only, because it's good every so often to be reminded what the code of conduct is. And of course, the most important part of the code of conduct is that we never use our position to influence improperly an outcome or to improperly influence others for a specific outcome. And that's pretty well laid out in the page and a half. Are there any questions or comments about the Ethical County Official Code of Conduct? Tom?
On page 4, does anyone have, or Lynn maybe, have an example of the first two, like engage in outside interests that are not compatible with the impartial and objective performance of his or her duties? Because you do talk to people about being on the board, and what would be an example of one that would be inappropriate? And the second one, improperly influence or attempt to influence other officials to act in his or her own best interest. Because we do talk to each other as well. So, like, you have some. How would they play themselves out? You know.
If Kyle were to bribe us all to elect him. I don't know about those two, but I know the very next one, right? Just today I went to lunch with some people who have really important administrative roles in this community. It'd be great to buy them lunch and buy their love, but, you know, strictly I can't buy their lunch, they can't buy my lunch. It's very simple to me. And that's, I think, the spirit of the gift ban, too. Like, just no little Christmas trinkets. I mean, that's
really important to me, and I'm mindful of that. The other two, I don't know. I don't have, examples.
I've got examples. So, for instance, let's say that I wanted to engage in outside interests. For instance, I decided that I wanted to run the Disability Expo, which is funded by the Mental Health Board. Well, that would be a clear conflict of interest if I became the vendor for the mental health, for the Disability Expo, even though it's often associated more with the DD side of the equation. It's both. Another example would be if I were to say we had a discussion a couple of years ago about whether or not to fund the Ebert Festival. If I was to go around and basically say to every board member, if you vote in favor of it, this is what I'm going to do, X, Y, and Z, that would be improper behavior. You know, my role would be to say, are we sure we're spending the money in the right way? I'm just taking an example from the past. We did fund the Ebert Festival. It's been a good thing, but that would be trying to improperly influence. Or going outside of the board and saying to the chancellor. I've always bought my ticket.
They do. In the past, when we paid a much higher rate, they gave us a whole bunch of free passes, and a lot of those were VIP passes. And those would be shared by board members and by members of the alliance, like other groups, other organizations that had contributed to that project, you know, would share those passes. But then we started selling them instead to offset the costs. Yeah.
About ethical conduct that we need to review today? I mean, I think it's important to bring it up every so often. I really do. Yeah.
Rather than some policy position that you might want to, you know, talk up, we obviously talk right here with each other and try to influence each other. That would be appropriate. But, you know, if it's something to do with your own individual gain, it seems either financial or otherwise, it seems to me that's where the red lights go on and so on. But there's no way you can possibly in advance know every possible circumstance. So it's more like a get a sense of this, and then we'll deal with them when they occur.
And one example was, I think, Elaine recused herself from a vote on a program that potentially benefited her son. So, you know, I would do the same thing if there was a direct relationship between the funding decision. Any other comments? Moving on then, Parenting with Love and Limits contract. We have a decision memorandum on page 5. I think we're all aware that Parenting with Love and Limits has been moved to a termination stage. And we have representatives from Rosecrans. We can't actually vote on this today because of the Open Meeting Act and the fact that we didn't post it. But, Mark, do you want to – you wrote the memo. Would you like to – speak to?
I suppose if there are,
any questions?
With the exception of Jane, our newest board member, I think the rest of the board is pretty well versed in terms of Parenting with Love and Limits, what it's meant to this community, and the issues that it's been confronted with over the last few years. We're at a point where essentially it's come to a close. So unless there are questions, there is, we have the contract with the local provider, and then we have the Center of Excellence agreement that licenses use of the model. So both contracts would need to be acted on. And there's decision, there's calls for motions on both those contracts in the decision memo.
I just want to thank you, Mark. You have tried so hard and really worked diligently to try and get these services and to try to make something work. And thank you.
Mark, do you have any idea what will be returned to us? How much will be returned to us?
I have an estimate. I need to confirm that with Chris. It's fairly substantial.
Okay.
They've been operating. When we went to fee for service, the program was intended, and the funding level was to support four therapists. Plus a case manager, all who would be billing for certain activities, and they very quickly went down to one therapist. It's pretty substantial.
Okay.
But I don't want to give a number without having talked to Chris about
Fine.
That. Chris Wilson in our office.
And I'm assuming that with the proposals that will come in on February 8th, there may be a proposal that will look at filling the gap, because there is not a program right now for parents whose teenage children are really pushing the limits. There may be programs. I'm not sure what the status is, but I'm assuming that at some point there may be a gap in the community.
So could I ask a question about that of the staff? I'm assuming this is not a secret in the provider community,
no.
Right? Everybody kind of knows about this. And I think it's going to be important for us to not be in a position where we get one proposal and that's it, so we have to fill it right away because that's the only one we have. So, I mean, it might be that it'd be great, but all I'm suggesting is that it would be nice if we could communicate to appropriate agencies that this might be something they'd want to pay attention to, because it's a genuine need in the community. Maybe we already have done that.
There have been some conversations with some providers who I think if they put forth a proposal would not do so without having done their legwork. And I think in the meantime, we're left with what we have in the community there isn't something like Parenting with Love and Limits right now, but there are other resources in the community, that can help fill the gap.
And some of those are at Rosecrans. In the letter from Chris Gleason, he describes using other sources of funding to provide some services for those families. It's not the same service, but I think it's really clear to Mark and me that one of the central issues is a workforce problem, workforce shortage problem. So even if several really great competing proposals were proposing to do this kind of work, we might run into that problem again.
That might be a worthwhile agenda item, the workforce problem, for us to discuss. So I'm just suggesting that as an agenda item for a future meeting.
Just to follow up on Julian's point, it seems to me that there was enough dissatisfaction with this board with that particular program, and it might be in our best interest for us to clarify what is it that we're looking for. So that we're not just stuck with whatever comes in. I don't care how many they are, if it's 10. But that we have a clear view of what it is that we are asking for. And so, yes, I think an agenda item around what we think we're looking for would be very helpful.
This will be probably an nearly every board packet, contract amendment reports. And it's an effort, again, towards transparency on page 9, where Mark, in this case, has just identified the amendments that have been made on various contracts. Some of them are very minimal, like changing the address. Some of them are more substantive. And so we appreciate that. Again, it's a way to keep the board well-versed in what we're funding and what's going on. Any comments about the amendments? Okay. Current activities and special projects. There's a briefing memo and attachments related to justice and mental health collaboration that are in the packet for information only. I am assuming that we must have submitted a proposal with someone or not. SAMHSA?
We did not. The state of Illinois would like to submit a proposal to SAMHSA to work on this, the problem of people waiting for competency to stand trial. So this is another place where people might be getting stuck in the justice system and where they might benefit from treatments instead or not. So the Illinois feels ready to do this work, and they wanted letters of support from Champaign County because we've been so involved, especially collaborations between mental health and justice. So the entities which agreed right away to offer letters of support were NAMI, GROW in Illinois, the sheriff, the state's attorney, and us. And there were a couple of other entities, you know, considering writing letters of support, I think service providers. So I just wanted you to see that information in here. We're in a moment where the new sheriff and new chief deputy sheriff are sort of learning the lay of the land, but also making decisions about which of these collaborations are worth their time or which of their staff should do this work. So, you know, we don't want to overwhelm them with the things that have been in progress. And this is one of the things that was in progress. So I was very happy to see that right away the sheriff said, yes, we'll do this. So, you know, I think we're trying to back off a little bit, but this was a case where he was like, yes, we want in. So I just wanted you to see what it is. SAMHSA has another grant opportunity right now that I'm sort of interested in, but I need to find an eligible organization to apply for it. And it's it's Train a Trainer for Trauma-Informed Care. So that's been, you know, there's some really great momentum in this community for that. So maybe I can find an organization that wants to. I just thought, by way of update, and the timing was interesting because I just finished putting together this set of ideas and what they relate to. And the purpose of this memo was really to this is sort of like my comments for January as we start a new cycle of funding considerations and discussions about programs and whatever else you might want to do with the fund. I wanted to make sure that I went back through the strategic plan goals specifically and then the priorities for funding for this year to set a context for any special projects that you want to engage in.
The next item on the agenda is agency information. So if an agency would like to come forward, Chris, it appears that you might.
Thank you for those that attend. I'm Chris Gleason, Executive Director of Rosecrans Central Illinois. I always forget to introduce myself. Thank you for those that attended the Rosecrans Moreland Open House. Appreciate the support. We had over 275 people from the community come and tour the facility and talk to different people, and I think it really showed well. I got some questions as to whether I acknowledged the Mental Health Board in our speech or talk with people, and we have, and I did. I went back and reviewed the tape. I tend to mumble sometimes, so I know that I talk to our communications person. I'm very grateful for the funding for the recovery home, and that's what I wanted to update you guys on. We are opening up on February 1st. All our staff are hired. We met with them all today. We have so the recovery home is eight beds for men We could fill it tomorrow with 12 people, but we're not going to do that the first day. That would probably not be a good idea. And a majority of those clients are coming from our residential and are coming from Champaign County. So that's what we want to try to do, is make sure we have that place designated as priority. So that will be opening up February 1st. I also wanted to let you know we assumed the mobile crisis response for adolescents with Medicaid, which is formerly called SAS, which some people still call SAS, but it's not SAS anymore. And we assumed that from Choices on January 1st. And we were doing a four-county area, Champaign, Vermilion, Iroquois, and Ford County. And along with that, I put that into our letter, and I'll address PLL in a second. So we are responsible for all the crisis for Medicaid for kids and adults, really, if the CARES line gets called. And I can tell you, when I looked at the stats this afternoon through yesterday, we had 98 crisis assessments for adolescents, which is a number that I did not anticipate in 23 days. So I have a feeling that there's some four-county area, and most of that is in Champaign and Vermilion County. So Fort Iroquois, little bit. So I'll continue to provide you guys with updated on that, because I think that plays into how we treat children and adolescents in our community. I think there's far too many kids to be seen in crisis. So we've spent time out at the schools and doing some education and talking and really kind of digging into what do people really need. What is going on? Is this, you know, crisis is crisis, but we want to make sure that we fill the gap. So one of the things we're looking at is starting a community support team, which is a team of two case managers and a therapist. Actually, it'll probably end up being three therapists that are going to do therapy and case management. They'll have a caseload of those three together, up to 54 kids. And they'll do intensive home and community-based services. Had an opportunity to talk to the state on Monday. They came, HFS came, and spent about 5 hours with us about SAS and Family Support Program. And one of the things that they encouraged us is to get our child and adolescent services out of for these crisis and heavy related service need families out of office-based services and out into the community. And they will they support us on that. So those are some of the things that you're going to continue to see from us. So we have almost all those staff hired, and we're going to do bonus for staff who stay. We'll do them every 6 months who are doing crisis work. So we'll give them a bonus every 6 months for staying. We know the average crisis worker's shelf life is about 2 years. And then they need to rotate and do something different. There are some that do it for years and years, so we're trying to address our work for shortage on that level as well. So that's our SAS update from there. And really, I wanted to address, I know I wrote in the letter, but I really wanted to address PLL. It is, I know it's a long-standing program in the community. I know that there's a lot of value to that program. So us not continuing that program is not about value. It is about sustaining a workforce. And not sustainability of the program, but sustaining a workforce of therapists who want to participate in a manualized program. Since I've been here in almost a year, we cycled every therapist out of there. And so that is not unusual. When I talk to Gail, when I talk to Julie, those therapists, it really is a specific niche for them. I felt that the best thing we could do as an organization is not hold on to money that we can't spend, and it was to give it back to the mental health board where it can be reallocated for whatever services and purposes there. I do not intend to abandon children and adolescent services in this community, mental health or substance abuse. We're increasing those services at zero cost to the mental health board. That's my pitch. I promised you guys a year ago that our reliance on funding outside of our own organization that we can't bill for, I'm going to try to decrease that, and you're going to continue to see that from us. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
I have a couple of questions. When the Choices people made their presentation to us, and you say you've taken over that service, I think they said their response time was 90 minutes to a crisis. Is that?
So the state has parameters. We have 30 minutes to pick up the CARES call, and then 90 minutes, our 90 minute to respond is from the moment we picked up the CARES call. So we have 90 minutes to get to the crisis call.
Okay. That's
a state requirement. Yeah.
But is that as quick as it can be? I mean, I don't quite understand what the 90 minutes.
Just depends on, well, it depends on where the crisis is. If it's in Champaign or Vermilion, we'll get to it way before 90 minutes. If it's in Ford or Iroquois, it's going to be a little bit more. We've only had two calls that exceeded the 90 minutes. We've actually are under the 90 minutes. Where I think we're averaging around 63 minutes. Okay. And sometimes that's just making sure, getting to there, getting everyone in there. We don't end that time limit until we start the assessment. So if we arrive at a school and we're doing staffing with a school, that is part of our response time. That's not included in the assessment time.
Okay.
So we know, and I've worked really hard with our adult team. Our adult team's done a great job of reducing. We average 5 minutes now at OSF because we're right there. But our goal is to get enough therapists out there we'll have 14 crisis therapists that will be able to respond. So that should reduce our time. And we're looking at stationing people in Vermilion County as well.
Okay. thank you. And
You're
my
welcome.
Other question is about PLL. You mentioned you used the word manualize
right
when you were talking about the therapist leaving.
Right.
Was that an issue, that it was a manualized program?
I think for some of the therapists that they felt that there was not any creativity for them, that they had to follow a prescriptive manner. That wasn't all of them, but a couple of them had mentioned that they wanted to have a little bit more freedom to what they were doing. It's a proven program, so there's some value in the manualization of it, and that's what makes it that evidence piece.
Uh-huh.
But for some therapists, they wanted some more creativity with
that. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other comments or questions for Chris? We really appreciate what Rosecrans is doing and the fact that you made very clear in your letter that you were continuing to provide intensive support to adolescents and their families. So that was never a question. And we're really pleased with the growth and additional services that you're providing.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming here.
Thanks.
Any other agency report? Okay. Seeing no one springing up to stretch, we'll move on to old business. Schedules and allocation process timelines. There's an updated copy of our meeting schedules. You should have them deeply embedded in your mind by now because we see it every month. You've got it. Put it in your calendar. Unless there's questions, I'd like to move on to the next item, which is the Champaign County Developmental Disability Board information.
I'm distributing the annual report on inclusion across. This is a national report that UCP puts together every year. We look forward to finding Illinois always ranked 47th or 48th, and this is a ranking. It's a kind of complex ranking. It's mostly about community-based care that's supported by Medicaid. So this year we are 44.
Wow.
Let's celebrate. Also, I really don't know what we did right to elevate from 48 to 44. And there is this whole project, you know, if you really step back from it, is comparing apples to oranges across states that have there are almost no ways to truly compare what the states are doing. Every state is complicated culturally, politically, financially. So the project is a little bit, I think it's a little bit ambitious anyway to assume that we could rank. But for good news, we're up a little. So that was one thing we celebrated this morning at the DD board meeting. Their business was a little different from yours. They don't have elections until July, but they did have a meeting this morning. They looked at a lot of agency performance data, and, you know, with that as like a large scale example of how difficult it is to compare performance data, you know, I think, all right, we're looking at our small world here and learning about how difficult it is to collect and report and then understand something from all the data that we put all that energy into. So, you know, it's always nice to celebrate the agency's accomplishments by looking at those reports too. But, you know, it was just kind of just a nice meeting, not a whole lot of action this morning. But that was the first meeting after a couple of months off too. That's it. There is something in my briefing memo of information that came up this morning at the DD board meeting, because if you're interested in one of the little projects that I've been thinking about, is for this board to pay off the mortgage on the Scyllas, where you're paying 3.903% interest rate on the mortgage and earning about 2.5% interest rate if the money is sitting in the bank, and you don't really need to keep the money in the bank. So the idea of selling or of paying off the mortgage creates a difference then. If you do that, there's a difference then between the investment you will have made and the investment the DD board will have made. So if we do that, it's really very complicated for a simple thing like paying off a mortgage. And it has implications for the intergovernmental agreement between the two boards. So if you're interested in me moving forward with that project, I could return to you in February a set of actions to vote on. And among them would be changes to the intergovernmental agreement to keep the original spirit of the agreement. We've got a new real estate attorney who's very risk averse. So I've learned a whole bunch of stuff that we need to touch on if we do that. But anyway.
So, Lynn, the context for even considering that is that we may have more money in our balance than we typically would have, and it's not good to just leave money sitting when we are serving the public. So that's the context for it. Okay. To approval of the Mental Health Board minutes from November 14th and 28th. I think this is just a voice vote. Can we do that? Can we approve the minutes? No, not yet. Okay. If you have any corrections to the minutes, please let Stephanie know, and then you can approve them next week. Do you have anything else to report, Lynn?
Yes.
The Executive Director's report. Okay. Staff consultant reports. We have some wonderful reports from the staff that are attached.
I know what it is.
Go.
It's really important.
All right. What I need to tell you is that the director of the county IT has asked me to tell you that the reason the agenda was not posted online in time was that he forgot. Not that the county was still dealing with a particularly malicious virus. He says that virus was resolved in mid-December, so me supposing that that's what was going on has created some problems for him. He just forgot. But I just want you to know that the reason I thought he was dealing with a virus is because our only computer, which is connected to the county system, was infected by that virus, and we had to replace it last week. So to me, the virus is new news, not old news. Anyway, we're back in operation, and we can. It's really important that we be able to use that computer because it allows us to pay the bills. So.
I'd like to extend compliments to the staff for their thorough reports that were included, and for their excellent work. If you have questions about the reports, I would suggest that you call the staff member. Financial report, you have a copy to look at. We will not approve it. I looked at it. I didn't have any questions. If you haven't had a chance to look at it, please do so that you can approve it on next Wednesday. Board-to-board reports. Elaine, you wanted to add that?
I went to, this wasn't exactly board-to-board, but I went to the open house for the Philo Road, new Philo Road DSC facility. So their day programming has moved from the windowless Bradley rooms to a much more expansive space. And they have an art room and a computer room and an exercise area and a kitchen where they are cooking. I've seen them cooking there. And since IFS is based there and we fund that, that's why I wanted to go. And I talked to a mother and son who had come there for the open house. And the son, I asked what his week looked like. So he is with his IFS friends, that's family, you know, the individual family support, people who mostly who are still living at home. He spends time there with his friends there, and in fact, he left, got bored with us, and said he was going to go be with his friends. He also has a part-time job. He volunteers at the Humane Society. He also gets to go to the Y. And so it seemed to me that that program was, you know, had worked out a very nice week for him of a lot of community involvement. I was glad to see that. And then I also went to the last community coalition meeting. And in addition to the worry always about, Lynn was there too, so she could report about the gun violence. There was this time an emphasis on some mentoring programs. Very good to see that that's spreading out more than it seems to me than it used to be. There are more opportunities, mentoring opportunities in the community through different agencies. So,
anyone else have an opportunity? Yes, Jillian?
So I will report that I went to the Rosecrans Community Board meeting, and I did not eat their lunch. Just let me be clear about that. I think I was also at that same community coalition meeting, the big one at the library. Is that what we're talking about? Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty impressive, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Increasing collaboration across the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Initiative is very impressive, mm-hmm. in my opinion, mm-hmm. just because people are talking to each other. That alone is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Not to put anyone on the spot, any other reports? Okay, great. Then moving on to Lynn, do you have board announcements? Study session next week?
Study session next week, plus a special meeting. And I think I misspoke earlier. It was Mark and Stephanie, who put this all together today, changed the study session to a special meeting, got it posted, got it all together for you today. That was a great effort. In the future, if we have any concern about our agenda not being posted, we are going to tape a copy of the agenda to the door here at Brookins so that it's not a problem. I just wanted to mention that because I got some helpful advice from two board members at the beginning of the meeting that this is another way to post the meeting. So we'll just... It's never happened in 20 years, but just in case.
Okay, with that, I think we can adjourn. Thank you all very much. Enjoy next Wednesday.